Let's come now to God's Word. And we're looking at Judges chapter 18. We'll read together verses 14 through 26, and then I will read the rest. Judges chapter 18, beginning at verse 14. Let's begin. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, "Do you know that they are in these houses an ephod, household idols, a carved image, and a molded image? Now therefore consider what you should do." So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. The 600 men armed with their weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up. Entering there, they took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men who were armed with weapons of war. When these went into Micah's house and took the carved image, the ephod, the household idols, and the molded image, the priest said to them, "What are you doing?" And they said to him, "Be quiet, put your hand over your mouth, and come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of one man, or that you should be a priest to a tribe and a family in Israel?" So the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod, the household idols, and the carved image, and took his place among the people. Then they turned and departed, and put the little ones, the livestock, and the goods in front of them. When they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, "What ails you that you have gathered such a company?" So he said, "You have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priests, and you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, 'What ails you?'" And the children of Dan said to him, "Do not let your voice be heard among us, lest angry men fall upon you, and you lose your life with the lives of your household." Then the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, he turned and went back to his house. Now I will read. So they took the things Micah had made, and the priests who had belonged to him, and went to Laish, to a people quiet and secure. And they struck them with the edge of the sword and burned the city with fire. There was no deliverer because it was far from Sidon and they had no ties with anyone. It was in the valley that belongs to Beth Rehob. So they built the city and dwelt there. And they called the name of the city Dan after the name of Dan their father, who was born to Israel. However, the name of the city formerly was Laish. Then the children of Dan set up for themselves the carved image, and Jonathan the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day of captivity of the land. So they set up for themselves Micah's carved image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. And may our good God bless his holy word to our hearts, that it may be sanctified. The epidemic of ignorance spreads. Last time we saw how it began. Now it starts to spread. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I made up another phrase. Ignoritus lex. Ignorance of the law. It is like chicken pox. It can spread without the carrier knowing about it. The difference with ignoritus lex that makes it unique, or should back up, the difference in chickenpox from ignoritus lex is that chickenpox will leave you with a few spots, maybe shingles. You'll survive. The consequences of ignoritus are much more deadly, severer. You will hear from God's word then what happens when this ignorance not only began with the five men of Dan in their interaction with the Levite, but how it spread to the entire tribe of Dan. Our headings are: ignorance led to thefts, ignorance led to threats, and ignorance led to deaths. Our goals are that you will see what the consequences of ignoring God's word or being ignorant of God's word is, but as children of Christ, you will learn to know and to love his word and therefore help to advance his kingdom. Let's begin. First heading: ignorance led to thefts and intimidations. The five spies from Dan believed the lies that the Levite had told them, that God would bless their trip and that God had approved of their behavior, which was to steal the land of innocent people. But King Ignorance ruled Israel at this time. This was why the five Danites did not even know God's covenant name. They used a generic name for God, Elohim, instead of Jehovah. They thought in their ignorance that the illegitimate priest who pronounced an illegitimate blessing on people was trustworthy. So they were boasting of their fake Rolex watch, not knowing that it was Rolex, as you can buy on the internet. The fact is, only a priest was to legitimately bless the people. You read about that, number 6, and Aaron shall raise his hand and bless the people of God and say, the Lord bless you and keep you, and so on. That was an instruction and an authority that God had given to the priest. But the five Danites didn't know that. This is like people who go take their lottery ticket to the priest or the pastor to bless their lottery ticket so they would win. They do something wrong, but they don't know it. They think God will bless their lottery ticket so they could gamble and get money without working for it. Now these five spies convinced the 600 soldiers now from Dan of the lies that they were told by the Levite. So these 600 men then took up arms and got ready to go and conquer Laish. As they're going, these five spies convince the 600 soldiers to make one final pit stop before they went north to capture Laish. They stopped at the Levite's house on the way. These five spies gave the soldiers from Dan what we would call the wink and the nod, to go into the Levite's house and rob him of the things that he had and demand that he serve them. And they were convinced in their mind that the Levites and his idols were legitimate. These five men then convinced the 600 men that this was good. And the ignorance started to spread like a bad bout of chickenpox. The 600 men went to Micah's house to the Levite and waited outside. And can you see how intimidating this was? It's very typical of Italian-style mafia. Remember, you notice what they said? Think about what you should do, the five men said to the 600. And then the 600 men go and stood up outside. And look at what is emphasized there in verse 6. The 600 men were armed with their weapons of war. So it was quite intimidating as well. They were armed to the teeth. How would you feel if you found that out? These men were armed and in front of your house. So with the 600 men covering them, the five spies then enter the house and robbed the Levite of the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the molded image. What was the problem here? They ignored the second table of the law. You're not supposed to worship the true God using images. And remember, they didn't say that these gods were some new gods, like the people of the land. They just said these are Jehovah. They used the idols to represent Jehovah. That's one of the reasons that in Reformed churches we speak so strongly against using images of Jesus to worship Him. This was ignorance of the second law, and this is the motivation. They thought they were doing something good because they were going to spread religion now. But they were breaking. Their ignorance of the second law caused them to break the eighth law. You shall not steal. Look at Deuteronomy in your sermon notes, chapter 27, verse 15, and let's read together. Cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, an abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. That was abundantly clear what they should have done, but ignorance was king. And he demanded that they spread these falsehoods and influence people in the wrong way. Now the Levite then questioned the Danites about their robbery. So what was their response? Shut up. Don't talk back. Put your hand on your mouth. But it's what happens next that is intriguing. On one hand, they wanted to control him and told him to shut up. On the other hand, they wanted him to be their father and priest. How insidious ignorance is. Further, in their ignorance, they were willing to accept someone out of Aaron's family to be their priest. Not only this man was just a regular Levite, he was not from Aaron's family, so he shouldn't have been a priest in the first place. But their offer was attractive to the Levite, who was quite, as we said, ambitious. He was like this young man I talked to recently who was 17 and he applied to be a youth pastor. And I told him, I said, you're going to regret saying you are qualified for this job. And he said, no, I don't think so. I'm sure by now he has seen that that was not a good idea. No one is qualified to be a pastor at that age. So why did he accept that? Could it be that the 600 soldiers promised him something more? Remember, he was willing to work for next to nothing. Maybe they promised him more for his consulting fees. Money is what caught him in the first place. Money probably caught him again. What lessons can we learn before we move on? First of all, because many see innovative ways of worship as attractive, especially young people, churches try to embrace innovations. They don't take the time to examine the legitimacy of the activity. They're simply attracted to new things or interesting things. And this is one of the major reasons for the church in North America. We treat ignorance with innovation and then we hope for a cure. Ignorance is treated with innovations and then you hope that that will cure the problem. There's no going to the root cause. They're really just treating the symptoms. We don't know what God wants in worship, so we make it up based on what people might like, and we hope for the best. That's a serious problem. That's an old problem, though. That's what Israel followed. And then second, do you see how God's rule about how you should worship is ignored today? If someone seems zealous, if someone seems knowledgeable, a congregation is often quickly ready to make him into a minister or an elder. Many of our churches today, think in North America, think in Toronto, for example. If you look in the Tamil community, which is not very big, but you think of the Tamil Christian community, which isn't as big, even smaller, there were There are over 50 Tamil churches in Toronto area. And someone was investigating why these churches were formed, and you found out that somebody decided he knew more than others and started an argument with the pastor and the elders, and they just split and start their own church. How much do they know? How much are they qualified? See, the Levite just decided, hey, this is a good opportunity. I can make some money. I can do some influence. And maybe I'll do some good. Maybe his motive was that he could do something better than Micah was able to do. But that's part of the problem. I remember as a child, at 15, I was an elder in the Pentecostal church because I was zealous and they could see me learning stuff, and that's how little they knew, that they thought I knew a lot. And I became an elder at 15. You realize how foolish that was? God's direct law is ignored. That a man must be mature, he must be qualified, he must be able to rule his family well, and so on. And this is the same reason that we find many women who are ministers today. I had one lady call and ask me for a job. She wanted to be an associate minister here, and so she was writing to me. Understanding of how churches are run, she's completely gone. But she was excited and she loved the Lord. But she didn't know very much. Because if she knew the word, she wouldn't be asking for a job in the first place. As if I could hire her for a job. The Bible says that women are not to rule over their husbands. If you are elder in the church, you'll be ruling over your husband. And therefore, by the knowledge of God's word, some of these problems would automatically be solved. But in this case, you see, knowledge caused them to steal. Knowledge caused them to intimidate. The lack of knowledge caused them to steal, to intimidate, and even to corrupt the church of Jesus Christ. But ignorance was far more of a problem. Let's look at the second heading now. Ignorance then led to threats. Not just to thefts and corruption, but ignorance led to threats. First, ignoring the insults and appreciating the promise of a higher position, the Levite went along with Dan's plan. He was like the shepherds that you read about in Ezekiel 34, governed by his own self-interest. So they took him and all the things that he had. As I said before, he was won over by 10 shekels. Guess what 20 shekels would do to him now? He was a hireling, not a true shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ. Now, as they left, Micah then gathered his friends and neighbors to recover what was stolen from him. When Micah and his friends caught up with the Danites then said, "What's wrong with you?" Danites thought they could worship God with the stolen property, as if God would just let it go. That's like tithing off of lottery winnings. It's like bringing stolen money and say, "I got to give 10%. God made me win this lottery." Assuming that in fact that God forbids gambling. But God made me win, so our 10% belongs to Him. And that's what the people of Dan were doing now. And this is grounded on their lack of knowledge, their ignorance of God's word. They should have known that you have to come with the right sacrifice. You have to come in with the right things before God. Micah's response perpetuated the ignorance of the times. Look in verse 24, how he describes, "You've taken away my gods which I made." He accused the Danites of taking away his gods and his priests. He did not even recognize that his gods violated God's law. He did not know that the Levite was not a legitimate priest before God. And he did not even think it strange that he had to fight to protect his God. Isn't this what you find with false religions? Isn't this what Islam does? They have to fight to protect their God and his honor, as if he couldn't do it himself. And he couldn't, because he's not real. We don't have to go about that way with our God. We don't have to force people to worship God the way we say. We have to preach the word of God, and our God will take care of the rest. There's no coercion or threatening of people. But do you see the foolishness of fighting to protect your God? Take warning from Isaiah chapter 44, verse 9. In your notes, let's read together. Those who make an image, all of them are useless, and their precious things shall not profit. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. This is speaking not just of the useless things here, referring to both the people and the gods they make. God does not want us to make idols or images of anything and use them to represent Him. The Danites, because they love the priests and the gods, what was their response to Micah when he says, "Give me back my gods"? They threatened him. They threatened the life of Micah and the life of his entire household. And here's where you see is probably where a lot of the mafia take their learning from. They said, "Well, you better be careful because something bad could happen. We've got some troublesome people on our side. And somebody could get hurt. Somebody and somebody's family." Angry men might fall upon you, might attack you, and you might lose your life. It's not our thing, it's just that if you don't behave yourself, you see the way they went about it? Right and wrong were cast aside, and threats were used instead. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 9, together. Her gates have sunk into the ground. He has destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets find no vision. The authority, her gates have sunk into the ground. Justice, that's speaking of justice. They've all gone. Why? Because the prophets find no vision. This is not speaking of dreams and things that you see in your sleep. Vision here, is the word is revelation. And it's not speaking of a goal like some people like to think of. Oh, you must have a vision for what you want to do. This is divine revelation. Our prophets find no more revelation from God. Man is doing what he wants. Justice is gone. You see what happens. What lessons can we learn about these threats that were caused by ignorance? One. Look how people with good intentions are deceived because of their ignorance. Past President Jimmy Carter recently said that Jesus would have welcomed homosexuals into his church. Surely, President Carter wants to care for homosexuals, and he should. But he is ignorant of God's word. And now he threatens people who don't do otherwise. You see President Obama just yesterday in Kenya, really putting the pressure on people in Africa to support homosexuality. Thankfully, some of the presidents told them exactly what they should have. They had the courage to do so. But then he used threat, right? If you don't do that, there may be a lacking of U.S. financial aid. That's the same thing, where people threaten if you don't collaborate in their sin. Also look how greed can take over. Even among ministers, Luther said to preachers to see to it that these three dogs did not follow them into the pulpit. Ambition, covetousness, and contentiousness. Those first two can be quite important. Where even ministers can find themselves sucked into, well, what's the more prestigious job? What's the one that will provide us more money? And go in those directions. But that's how greed can take over, as it did this man, as it did to the people of Dan. They just took what did not belong to them and said, "Well, you're serving one man here. We demand that you serve the greater good." By the way, isn't this what the governments use these days to take away individual freedom? Even take away individual people's land and property simply because they think this will be for the greater good. Theft is theft, any way you slice it. But that's what greed can do. This is where you hear people talk. If you listen to some of the politicians that prepare for elections here, mimic what you've heard in the U.S. You need to pay your fair share. What they mean by that is not fair. It's much more than others. But they call it a nice name. And it's nothing more than greed that goes after people who may have more. So you can take it, steal. See, that's the thing. Threats and thefts. And a third warning, a third lesson. Discontent is lethal. Discontent makes you a crook. It makes you covet. It makes you compromise. It makes you steal. Why do you pay so much tax? Because others are discontent and demand that the government steals from you to redistribute to others. Let's move to a third point then. We've seen thefts. We've seen more threats. And now one more. Ignorance of God's law led to deaths. With the Levite and the idols in hand, Dan then went to conquer and kill the people of Laish. It appears that this was not part of the land that was originally promised to Israel. And the Bible notes that these were quiet and secured people. They did not have ties with anyone else. This meant that they were different from the people of the land. When you have the seven nations of Canaan, they were a confederacy. They joined together and fought against their mutual enemies. But this was an innocent people. They stayed by themselves. They were not serving the true God, but they were not known for anything ridiculously wicked that we read of. But these men went there, attacked them, and slaughtered them. After the slaughter of the people of Laish, Dan then rebuilt the city and named it Dan. They already had land in the southwestern part, just along the Mediterranean coast. But they wanted more. And there were other areas they could have captured that were properly part of the land of Canaan. But based on the false promise of the Levite, they established themselves, they robbed these people, took their land, and established themselves in the northernmost part of Israel. What was wrong with that? Influence of the idolatrous nations would have been stronger as they were at the very edge of Israel. If you look at the map, in the northernmost part is part of the land of Dan. And then Dan established false worship. What is sad here is they set up the gods they had taken, believing them to be Jehovah God, and setting them up as idols. This was an abominable thing to God. This was the infection of ignorance, that infection of the loss of truth. It seems that they thought that they were able to conquer the land because God had blessed them and that God was blessing their efforts, the gods that they set up as idols. Matthew Henry wrote that many justify themselves in their impiety by their prosperity. Because they see they made money doing this, they said, God must be blessing it. They see themselves as successful. It doesn't matter if they use crookish means to get there. They think God must approve of that behavior. But of course, it doesn't mean that. See, they were treating God here like the genie in the bottle. You rub the bottle and the genie comes out and grants them their wishes. They weren't interested in the instruction, the systematic training in the Word of God, knowing truth, believing truth, living truth. They just wanted a quick thing. Let me rub the bottle. What are your wishes? Here are your wishes. I'm back in the bottle. But that's not how God wants us to live. We're His children. He wants us to be trained in the knowledge of the Word. That's why we go through the catechism and the confessions and the canons of Dort. Because we want a systematic understanding of the Scriptures so you can obey God in all areas of your life rather than bits and pieces here and there. They did not rely upon the written Word, but that is what they should have done. Look at Isaiah 30, verse 22. Read together. You will also defile the covering of your graven images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold. You will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, get away. That's what God wanted them to do. But these men, and look further now, they used their own people who were not from Aaron's clan, who were not from the tribe of Levi, to be priests. You see, they went farther into this. They argued from outside of God's word. They argued that God blessed us when we had a man who was not from Aaron's tribe, and God accepted us and gave us this land, all in ignorance. But because they argue that way, then they could argue consistently that way and say, well, we can take our own people and make them into priests. We can take other people and make them into priests because God blessed it. You see, they were arguing from that pragmatic position rather than a principled position. Isn't that what people say today too? Think of how many people, look at some of the lessons first and we'll touch on that. First, how many silly traditions haven't become established as part of Christianity today? Where did the term worship team come from? Is there anything remotely evidence in the scripture of a worship team? And by the way, when people say worship team, they usually mean singing. Worship is not singing. Worship, this is worship. Listening to God's word, that's worship. Praying is God's worship. Participating in the sacrament is worship. So the worship team is about the worst misnomer you can think of. It's not based on anything remotely found in the scripture. Where does the term church board come from? The Bible is run by elders. A board has distinct connotations in modern understanding. They have authority to act. Whereas when you have elders, they are subjected to the law of God, to the word of God. There's a limitation to what they're able to do. Where did the term inductive Bible study come from? You ever heard in the Bible that they're reading it and then you hear, well, what does this mean to you? It doesn't matter what it means to you, it matters what it means. What is truth? What about this phrase, children's church? Was there any church for children in the Bible? The church was for the family of God. The families gather together. And this notion of putting out children, sometimes up to the age of 13 they are put out to worship, is an abominable practice. And then we wonder why children aren't in church. Because we take them out and we read Bible stories and give them coloring books instead of listening to the truth of God. You realize they preach like this and 99% of the churches in North America, I'll never forget a job. Because that's the standard these days. And then I mentioned in terms of women ministers, women leaders. The way they argue this is, well, women are smarter, given. Women know a lot, often more than men, given. They can speak very well, given. And then they argue, so why couldn't they serve as ministers? Well, because God says so. It's not a matter of the ability, it's the authority to do it. That's the problem, that's what the Danites did. They decided that they were going to take the son of Manasseh. Manasseh, who was so far removed from Levi, was the one from whom they took priests. And they argued, they can do it, so let them do it, instead of the principles of God's word. Second, God's word is the only reliable standard for truth in the world. But wicked men who have rejected God's word hate to do justice when asked. The wicked men who hate God's word, they hate to do justice when asked. They're not willing to stand by the principles of God's word. But God's word is a standard for what we believe, and God's word is a standard for how we live. Let's conclude. Ignorance of God's law concerning proper worship caused Dan's theft of idols. They thought, this is what we needed. And believing they were doing what was right, using the gods for the whole tribe rather than a single family, caused threats to Micah's life. And his family as well. And foolishly believing that the Levites said, that God would bless their sins, then caused deaths of many innocent people. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, ignorance causes shame. You need to fight ignorance. Don't embrace it. Wouldn't you want to read love letters as you wait for your fiancé? Let's say your fiancé is away. Wouldn't that help to motivate you to be faithful, to work hard, to be patient? How much more the bridegroom, the one who will save you for eternity, the one who is in heaven, would you want to invest time in his word, his love letter? The time to know it, the time to study it, the time to live it. Learn of his love. When you do, the time will pass faster as you wait for heaven. And then share his love so that many will come into the family of God, come into his kingdom. Remember, Jesus lived and died for you, and he's gone to prepare a place for you. One day he will come back and take you to be with him. Finally, if you're not a Christian, one of the common ways the devil fools you is to use fake knowledge of how you could please God. He says things like, do good works and God will be happy. Be the best you can. Or all religions are equally valuable. Or all roads lead to God. This sounds so encompassing and inclusive and tolerant, and people love you when you say these things. Have you been fooled this way? Then don't be. You can only be saved through Jesus Christ. And you can be saved if you ask him to do so. He will save you for free. He will free you from ignorance that leads to death and give you hope of heaven. Let us pray.